We are members of a glorious church, a blood-bought church. And on this earth, there is no better institution. And we want to talk a little bit more about the differences today between the old and the new. And Lord willing, we'll be edified and lifted up by our lessons. We're talking about the fact that you are a member of a royal priesthood, each and every one of us. In our last lesson, we considered 8 points from the Old Testament concerning this old priesthood under the old law of Moses, and we identified who those priests were. Those were the Levites. And with respect to their lineage, and that those that were chosen and appointed by God to be high priests. We considered that God had commanded the amazing and ornate way in which these men who were priests were to dress, and how those that clothing was crafted by these great artisans. Exodus chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. And then we began to consider 8 types of this kind of sacrificial service that they were involved in. And these 8 types were, the priests were mediators between God and the people. The priests had limited service. That means that they started at one age. In the beginning, it was 25 years old. David changed that to 20, and then they stopped serving at the age of 50. We also looked at, they were commanded to offer a specific kinds of sacrifice and service that God gave specific instructions for. And when they went beyond those instructions, as we studied Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 with Nadab and Abihu, we saw that that didn't turn out very well. And so we learn from that. And remember something that I didn't say this morning, and that is that God changes not. I mean, that's something that too many people, they think God changed. Well, yeah, that was in the Old Testament. God was a different God. God changes not. Malachi teaches us that. I am the Lord your God, and I change not. Listen, whatever happened in the past is there for our learning, for our admonition, right? And so we learn about God and His character, and let's never forget that. The high priest represented the whole nation, we studied. And the Levites were also teachers of Israel. The Levites were the nation's judges. And the Levites kept the lamps burning. And finally, we looked at the Levites were the nation's regulators. In the second lesson this evening, we want to look at the fact that we want to compare those Old Testament truths to strengthen our resolve as we are a royal priesthood. We want to look at this and kind of compare this towards the New Testament of which we are. You know, Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, he wrote, comparing the old and the new, we're going to strengthen our resolve. Paul wrote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Remember something with me today. Remember Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. If you already know that, then make sure everybody else remembers. Matthew 20 and 28. Jesus did not come to be served, did he? He gave his life a ransom for many. Remember that. Because that's the very foundation of our church. What God did to establish His reign upon this earth. And remember that as members of a royal priesthood, we are to serve God faithfully. In Galatians chapter 5 and at verse 13, we realize that we've been called, but we don't want to use the freedom or the liberty that we have to fulfill the desires of our flesh. No, we want to use that opportunity to love and to serve one another. That is what we must do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 9. If you'll turn there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 9 is a wonderful verse when you think about the New Testament church and relationship. Paul writes there that they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. Paul is saying that here these guys are over here and they're making a proclamation. They're talking about how we came in, what we did when we were there. They made this clear, what manner of entry we had when we came to you, and how you turned to God from idols. And put those dots together. That's what the church is here for. The church is here to be an example, to be a light. We'll talk about that. But we're here to express the grand and amazing and worthy Jesus Christ. We're here to let the world know, to let our light shine, so that when we come into a room with people, people are going to be turned away from idols. They're going to be turned away and serve the living and true God. You see that in the text? That is an amazing thing. That's saying that we came into you, you were serving idols, you weren't serving the living and true God. But something they said, something had to have happened. You got to connect the dots. When he said, we came unto you, it didn't mean he came through the door and sat down at a table and said nothing, because the people would not have been turned away from idols. And so we want to remember that as we think of ourselves and as people who are a member together with a royal priesthood. The devil's influence is out there. His threats are real, and he seeks to devour members of the church and the people who are outside the church. He seeks to plague us with impurities. Too many times, Christians are enslaved because we hang on to habits that have developed in us, connecting us to the world. We don't want to break free and let go. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. This can break those ties that we have with the world if we put this above ourselves. And we can stave off that old devil. Immorality abounds. Thankfully, we have the Word of God. And we can correct that immorality through spiritual learning and sacrifice. That's what Paul told us, right? In Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. Right? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's the New Testament. That's our reasonable service, he said. And I want you to be thinking about these things. By the end of these two lessons, this second lesson, we should be asking ourselves, is God looking at me, is God shaking his head from left to right? Or is God shaking his head up and down? We all have to ask ourselves that question. What's God? Is his head going like this, or is his head going like this? Individually, it's all about that relationship that we have. So let's make some comparisons. The Old Testament. Now, our text, of course, is 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, we already did verses, worked off of verses 4 through 8. Let's look here at verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's look at this. In the Old Testament, the first thing we looked at, who were the priests? And when we looked at that, we realized they were Leviticals. They had a lineage from Levi, and they were chosen by God to be set apart to do the work. Well, in the New Testament, as we look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that was on the screen, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's the difference. Because remember, in the Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. They were never completely in the light. They never really truly understood what we understand, because we have the completed revelation. We have something they didn't have. You see, we know for sure who Jesus was. We know that He came. Many of the Old Testament Jews, the Jews still look to the Old Testament. They're still waiting for the Messiah. And they're still in the dark. In Acts chapter 2 and at verse 38, this applies to every Christian. Remember, who were the priests? They were just the Levites. There are many churches today, like we mentioned this morning, they're still out there insinuating somehow that this particular clergy person is above everybody else. I talked with a woman that I love dearly from the Brown Street congregation who told me why she left the Catholic Church. You know why? Because she said she sat across the table in a Bible class, and she asked the priest a question, and the priest shook his finger in her face right up against her nose and said, "If you don't believe what I'm teaching you, you're going straight to hell." And she left. But see, they want that kind of control. I'm special. I know everything. You know nothing. That's not true in the church today. In the church, people would listen, and they were that chosen generation. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, what happened? People believed in the preaching of Jesus by Peter, and they repented and were baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they began a new life. In Acts chapter 2 at verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. A new life. The church now has been born, and we're all members of that exact same church. And then we have fellowship together in that church. In Acts chapter 2 and at verse 44, all who believed together, they had all these things in common. You see that? There's a difference. Because instead of just a select group of people, it is in the church, it's not just elders, it isn't just deacons, it's not the preacher. We are all in this together. And boy, we got to make sure we got our dots and tittles checked. Because if we're not in it together, that means we're not in it. Remember, look for God's head. You want God to be shaking this. We want to have favor with God, praising God and having favor with all the people. On that day, the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Romans chapter 10 at verse 12. This is what Paul said. It isn't Jews. It isn't Greeks. It isn't Levitical priests. It's not white, black, Asian, yellow, purple, blue. For the same Lord is, He is the same Lord, Jesus, who is over all, as all. Remember that. He's over all. He's over all. He's rich. All those who call upon Him, that's who we serve. And that's the difference. Another one. What were the priest's duties? The priests were mediators between God and the people. Right? Well, in the New Testament, all that's changed. Now we have one mediator, period, end. And that's Jesus, isn't it? One mediator. In 1 John chapter 2 and at verse 2, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. That's the difference. He is the mediator, the propitiation for our sins, the church, and also for the whole world, anybody who will come to Him. That's who he is. And that's the difference. You see, back then in the old law, you had to convert to Judaism when that wasn't quite that easy. But if you weren't a Levi, you couldn't be a priest. In Jesus, if you come to Christ, you believe and are baptized, your sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, you're added to the body of Christ, the church, and you are now a member of that royal priesthood. You need to get up to speed with what your duties are. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, not because of our love, these things didn't happen because we have this great, immense, powerful love, but it's because of God's love. His love is powerful. His love sent His only Son from heaven to be the propitiation for our sins. That's the difference. In the old Levitical priesthood, you could have somebody that you care about very much, but you know what's the difference? He's dead. And if he isn't, he will be. We have the Son of God who will never die. There's a huge difference. We're not depending on the flesh, the old law. In Hebrews chapter 2 and at verse 17, therefore, in all things we had been made, he had been made like his brethren. That's Jesus. He was made just like us, that he might be what? You see it in the text? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest for the things pertaining to God. That he might make propitiation for the sins of the people, all the people. What did John write? 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. That's totally different from the old way. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 5, there is just one God. One mediator between God and man. Guess who that is? Christ Jesus. And that's the difference. We have that great high priest, Jesus. And when it comes to the mediators, we don't turn to any man. We don't need any man. You can go to God in prayer in your closet and He hears you. In fact, the Bible tells us that not only hears you, but He knows what you're going to say before you even say it. What kind of an amazing thing is that? That's our mediator. They didn't have that. And we do. And so the church is different because of that. Jesus is our merciful and faithful high priest. And the man Christ is the only mediator. Priests had limited service. Remember, we talked about that. 20, 25 years to 50 years. In the New Testament, God will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus isn't limited in His service. And what we have through Jesus is everlasting life. This is the will of God who sent me, Jesus said, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 40. That's the will of God. God said, I'm sending my Son down to you who are my enemies, and He's going to save you anyway if you just believe in Him. He's going to save you if you just believe in Him. You can have everlasting life. And what's the great news? Because in the church, He's going to come back and raise you up in the last day. If you're a member of the royal priesthood of God, He's going to raise you up in the last day. Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 20, Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. We all know Jesus said, I am the shepherd, right? Not a shepherd. The shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep. The great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. There is no end to this service. You can start it at 8 years old if you know the truth and you understand it. And you can be under Him until the very day that you die, Lord willing, you live to be 105. It never ends. Because when you die, you don't die and it ends. You die and you have eternal life. And you'll be raised up in the last day. You see, that's the difference between the old and the new. When we're diligent to make our call and election sure, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you hear those words? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Into the everlasting kingdom. There's no time limit. As long as we're faithful, high priests in His king or royal priesthood in His kingdom, the high priest will make sure we have an entrance. And what a glorious entrance that is. Right? What an amazing thing. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Our high priest is there making ready for us. He wants you to be there. So much so that He's going to come back and take you up into the clouds to be with Him forevermore in that mansion or those dwelling places in the sky, in heaven. What an amazing Lord we have. And there is no end to it. It's called eternity in heaven. The everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 23. Listen, also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But He, Jesus, because He continues forever. Just put the dots together. There were many priests and they were prevented. Why were they prevented? Somebody, they got a cold. Somebody took away their car. You know, they had a flat tire. What prevented them from serving? They died. But when it talks about Jesus, He, verse 24, because He continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. He's our great high priest. There is a difference between the church and that Old Testament. What we know to be true is never going to change. And the fact that we have this opportunity through Christ will never change. An everlasting priesthood. An everlasting kingdom. What were the priest's duties? The priests were commanded to offer service and sacrifice to God's, according to God's specific instruction. And we looked at that a little bit in Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3. I mentioned it earlier. Nadab and Abihu, they knew how they were supposed to worship and honor God. They came in with strange or unauthorized fire, and fire came down from heaven. God changes not. When Uzzah touched that ark, he died. God changes not. When Moses struck the rock twice and spoke to the people when he was supposed to speak to the people, or not speak to the people, he was just supposed to speak to the rock, he never made it into the promised land. Why? Because God's a just God and He's righteous. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. You know what? Our citizenship is not on this earth. We're just a passing through. That's a truth from God's Word. Paul said, brethren, join me in following my example and note those who walk so as you have us for a pattern. God's given us a pattern too. We have a way that we must follow. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, we need to be loyal to that way. We need to be loyal to the faith. We need to be loyal to the Word of God. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, Paul said. That's what we have to do. Hang on, the sound words are right here. We hold fast to the pattern of sound words. which we heard from the apostle through inspiration that came from God. Where does all Scripture come from? The breath of God. Huge difference. And so we follow this pattern of sound words in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. It's a big difference. They didn't have Christ. They were looking for the Christ. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Paul tells Titus to exhort young men to be sober-minded. He wants them to be thinking seriously about things. Don't take everything lighthearted. In all things, showing yourself what? A pattern of good works. In doctrine. That's teaching. Doctrine here. Teaching. Showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. All because you know what this says. Being of sound speech. How are you of sound speech? Because you're speaking the oracles of God. That's different. You're going to speak things that cannot be condemned. Now, listen, I talk with people all the time who condemn what I'm saying, but truth doesn't need a defense. And as long as you're speaking the oracles of God, as long as you're speaking, somebody may condemn that, but who are they condemning? John chapter 12, verse 48. Right? Whoever rejects me does not reject me, but rejects him who sent me. And the words which I speak will judge him in the last day. When you reject the word of God, so you can condemn the word of God. But again, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, our job in the church is not to be conformed to this world, not to follow after the tradition of men, Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, not to listen to that kind of teaching, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's the difference. God writes His law on our hearts, not on the stone. You know, when God wrote that, when Moses was on the hill and God gave him those stones with the commandments on them, He wrote that with His finger in that stone. No longer in stone. No longer pen and ink. It's in the heart. The seed of God gets planted in the heart. Luke chapter 8. And when that seed grows, we bear fruit. There's a difference. We in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, what? What says the Scriptures? It's very simple. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth or charges not, and it shall be given him. James chapter 1, at verse 5. If anyone speaks, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That's the difference in the church. God's given us these abilities. He's given us the words. We know what to say, and we know how to make application. And when we do that, we glorify God through Jesus Christ, who belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. So that's the difference. Acts teaches us Paul did there in Romans. And as you look at this, think of Romans chapter 1 and 8 at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to this world, but according to the Spirit. See, we have something they didn't have. They were waiting for this gift. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the Spirit. But they didn't see it clearly. And we do. Hold to the pattern as we're given. Another thing we looked at, the high priest represented the whole nation of Israel before God. We represent Christ as a holy priesthood in this world that we live in. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus instructed the disciples, go into all the world, making disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe whatever I commanded you. You see that? We're all being taught to do the same thing. What did He command them? Go out into all the world. We don't rely upon the priesthood that doesn't exist anymore. We are the royal priesthood. And it's not the preacher. It's not the pastor, the elder. It's not the deacon. It's not the Bible study teacher. It's everyone. If you're baptized into Christ, you are a part of the royal priesthood. And all these things apply to you. So you can't go to the temple and let the priest do it all. You have to do it. Romans chapter 1 and 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That's your job. Mark 16 and 15, what were we told? Go into all the world and preach to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And again, remember, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, which they didn't have. Think about that. Also, the Levites were also the teachers of Israel. And that's a huge difference. You know, if you wanted to know something back then, they didn't have a bunch of Torahs. They didn't have a lot of scripts laying around or scrolls. Only the learned people and the rich people were able to have that. They had to go to the temple on Saturday or any other day of the week, and they had to learn from somebody. They didn't have what we have. They didn't have the Word of God all printed out. They didn't have that. They relied on those others to teach them. Remember Nehemiah? They stood and listened, and those Levites, they explained what was being taught in Nehemiah. We don't need that. Can you talk to somebody about, what does this mean? Well, sure you can, but this isn't that hard. The question is whether you can believe it or not. But in the church, in Ephesians chapter 11 and 4, 11 and 12, Christ gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors. He gave them for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave that. So we have that. We don't need anybody else. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 2, all these things that you heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to what? Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We have what we need. We have everything we need. Faithful men to teach. We are protected through the Word of God. When we teach this and rightly divide this, we're protected from the Word of God. They didn't have that. They didn't have that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 17. They didn't have what they needed to have beforehand. They didn't have that. He says, lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. People were led away. Look, think of all the kings of Israel and how many times they followed the right path and then they followed some king who led them in the wrong way. They're like fish, big swarms of fish, and the one fish goes this way and they follow it. Another king comes along, goes that way, they follow him. We don't need that. Our king, our Lord, our master, is only one. We just follow that way. And he leads us away from the error of the wicked. In Acts chapter 5, we read in verse 2 that after Peter and the other apostles, that they were beaten and they were told, don't speak in the name of Jesus. And what did they do? They continued daily in the temple and in every house. They didn't cease teaching and preaching Jesus. Why? Because He's more important than even my body. Paul said it's better to live and be with Christ. Better to die, rather, than be with Christ. Colossians 1 and 28, teaching every man in all wisdom. That's what we have they didn't have. The Levites were the nation's judges. Well, guess what? God's our judge to begin with. in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. God is the judge. In that day, the day that the Lord comes, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to His gospel. According to the gospel. John 12:48. You reject me, you reject my words, you have that which judges you in the last day, the word that I speak. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and at verse 13, those who are outside God judges. We don't have to judge the world out there. We don't have to be rulers and judges over people. We can just study the Word of God, the good, pleasing Word of God, and we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world around us, and we let people make decisions. You just speak the truth in love. Let them make decisions. Just make sure you're speaking the oracles of God, and they can be saved. Jesus will be the judge in the ultimate end. You're going to face Jesus. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess God in the end. And if we judge ourselves, you know, if we're smart and you do a little bit of study and you go, okay, I don't see anything wrong here. Judge yourself worthy of God. Don't judge yourself unworthy. Don't judge yourself and say, well, I don't see anything wrong there, but I'm not worthy, or I'm just not going to choose that path. Don't do that. Because if we were to judge ourselves, we know that I've lied. I know I've lied. I know I've cheated. I know I've stolen. I know I've, whatever it is, I speed down the highway every day. I break the law. I cheat on my taxes. Whatever it is, judge yourself. And then you say, well, okay, I am a sinner. I've all fallen short of the glory of God. You're not special if you've sinned. You're actually part of a huge group called humanity. Judge yourself worthy of salvation. We can do that. Levites, keep the lampstand burning. Remember, the people would bring olives pressed, and they'd get the oil, and they just kept bringing it to the temple, and they kept keeping those lamps. They kept them lamps burning. They physically had to do that. Physically. There's no evidence that that lamp never stopped burning either. In fact, we know it's not burning today because there is no temple. But they had something physical they had to do. Our lamp burns because it's spiritual. We don't have any physical lamps. We don't have to make sure the electricity doesn't go out. We don't have to make sure the oil doesn't burn off. We have Jesus Christ, who was the light of the world in us, that makes us the lights of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 14. You're the light of the world. We're the ones that are set up so that everybody can see. And that light doesn't go out. I've mentioned this before when a fellow named Mark, who used to be a preacher, who told me when I first came to the realization that the gospel is the truth, and he said to me, Dave, you're on fire! You're on fire! Don't worry, it'll go out. And I looked at him strange, and I'm still looking strange. It didn't go out. I still love the Lord. I still want to preach the truth. I know there's lost people in the world, and I want to find them. I want to help them. I want to bring them along that path, that narrow, difficult path. I want to be a light in the world. That's the job of the royal priesthood. It's one of the jobs that we have. You don't just say, well, let the priest do it. It's different. They had to physically keep it going. We spiritually keep it going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, you're all sons of the light, sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. We're people of the light. We're children of the light. We're called out of the darkness into that marvelous light, and we're called the children of the light. And listen, that is the true light. It is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Not just in Genesis when He said, let there be light, and there was light, and God said it was good. Not just then, but He brought the light of Jesus Christ down out of heaven for us. Something that they didn't have. And that light shines in the darkness and dispels the light. Look at the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning, and all things were made by Him. Was not anything made that was made. Without Him, in Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. You see, that's Jesus. We have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You don't need to be in darkness. Put two and two together, do a little study, decide whether or not God is God, Jesus is Jesus, the Word of God is inspired and different from any other book on the earth. And you know what? You don't even have to read the book to know that, because it's the only book that I know of that's been printed and printed and printed and printed and printed and tried to be destroyed, tried to be destroyed, tried to be destroyed, and it's still here. Because we have something they didn't have. We have the Word of God in our hands. And it'll be in our hands until the day Jesus takes us up to heaven. And men try to destroy it, try to prove it wrong. My friends, if they could prove this book was wrong, you think there would still be a church on the earth? I mean, be serious about it. If some scholarly person could come along and prove this book is full of lies, who would follow it? Be reasonable. Connect the dots. It didn't happen, and it won't happen, because God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and it shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge and the glory of God to the face of Jesus. They didn't have that. Levites were also the nation's regulators. Well, listen, all authority belongs to Jesus, right? Matthew 28:18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. All authority. We don't need a priesthood here. We don't need a priest and a bishop and an archbishop or anything else like that here. We don't need the preacher, really. All you need is Jesus. He's the regulator. He's the one that commands all things, sustains all things. In Hebrews chapter 1, at verse 2, 1, beginning at verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last times spoken to us through Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He, through Him, He made all the worlds and has appointed Him heir of all things. He has all authority. We need to hear Him. We don't need to be confused. Just listen. Think about that. He is at the right hand of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. What did he say there? He said, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, over every name that is named, that not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. I have a lot of notes in my Bible. It's kind of hard to read that. You see, that's Jesus. He's sitting at the right hand of God. What Levitical priest is sitting at the right hand of God? When Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah came, and Moses and Elijah and Jesus were there, and Peter got all excited, and he says, Lord, let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. And what did God say? No. Hear ye him. Hear who? Moses? No. Elijah? No. Jesus. Yes. The one who has is far above all principality and power and dominion, over a name that is named Jesus. Think about that. The only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The blessed only potentate, by the way. He's the one who has honor and glory, everlasting power. They didn't have that. We have that. Put the dots together. Realize what amazing power we have at our fingertips. And what powerful spiritual truth we have. We have the same power that created the heavens and the earth from nothing at our fingertips, in the sense of the Word of God and the power of God to salvation. John chapter 3 at verse 35, God gave all things into His hands, nobody else. The bottom line there, there's only one high priest. The old law is done away with in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and at verse 10. It's gone. It's been fulfilled, Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 17. It was nailed to the cross, Colossians chapter 2 and at verse 14. There was a change in the priesthood, Hebrews chapter 7 at verse 12, 8 and 13. There was a change. Because what we have, they don't have. And if they want what we have, they have to accept Jesus. A new covenant made the first obsolete, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. This is the new covenant, the New Testament in Christ's blood. You see, we have something they don't have. That old was growing old, waxing cold. When people, even to that day when people read it, the veil, it was like the veil was over their face, like the veil over. It's done. Is it good? Yes, it's good. Does it tell truths? Yes, it does. Does it teach and admonish us in many ways? Yes. Is the Old Testament worth of our time and effort to study and learn? Absolutely. It's there for our learning, for our admonition. But the church does not live under that Old Testament. We have something better. Far, far better. Well, knowing these things, today, tonight, would you obey Christ? If you haven't been baptized into Christ, right now is a really good time. And if you're not willing to do that, are you willing to study? If you're not sure, we're here to help. Will you come and obey Christ? Into Christ, understand these things are true, and become a member of this royal priesthood, something they didn't have. We have an invitation for you this night. Whatever your need is, now is the time of salvation. Now, not later. And we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.